So some medical procedures, including breast reductions, tonsil removal and operations to stop people from snoring, are among a list of 17 treatments which could be cut back by NHS England. These are plans to prevent what's described as over 100,000 unnecessary procedures taking place annually. So should we be doing the same here, introducing cuts, reductions, maybe even prescription charges, reintroducing those? Of course, NHS has just had its 70th birthday, so is it time to act? Earlier, I spoke to Jo Roundell Green, the granddaughter of Clement Attlee, one of the founders of the NHS, and I asked her how she thought her grandfather would feel about the current state of the service.
I think he'd probably have a lot of mixed feelings. I think that the fact that it's still going after 70 years, he would be delighted, and all the new drugs and technologies available treatments, I think he would be pleased about. But I think he would also be very dismayed that people are taking it for granted. And we've only heard just over the weekend people abusing our medical staff. And it's been, you know, we know it goes on because there are notices in all the hospitals saying, if you abuse our staff, we will take action. And I think he'd find that really very disappointing.
When you say people taking the NHS for granted, what do you mean? Is it just the assumption it will always be there and we're not quite as appreciative as we should be for what we get from it?
I think it is. If you go back to the early days of the NHS, people were incredibly grateful because they hadn't been able to have free medical care. They couldn't get glasses because they couldn't see. Their teeth were falling out. They couldn't eat properly. And they suddenly found that they could go and have dentures. They could have treatment. They could have their eyes tested and have glasses on the NHS. And it changed people's lives. And I don't think we realise today, people, you know, they get a little sniffle and know, I'll go and see the doctor. And we can't treat our NHS like this any longer because, A, it's too valuable and everybody really loves the NHS and it is the jewel in our crown, but also because it's unsustainable. The system can't cope with this. And we've got so many different treatments that people can have, you know, the tremendous cancer care. It's absolutely outstanding, the treatment and the care that people can get. You know, from maternity care, if you have an accident, you can go straight to an accident and emergency. But if it's clogged up with people who really shouldn't be there, it's a huge problem. And I think that we need a reality check on this. And people need to understand that it may be free, but that it comes at a price.
One of the suggestions recently about how to try and alleviate some of the pressure on the NHS is to remove certain procedures that were routine to an extent. For example, breast reduction surgery, attempts to fix snoring, things like that. Do you think, is that a way to try and tackle it? Because some people say it's a management issue as well and the structure of the NHS as a whole. So to pinpoint certain procedures that can make a big difference to certain people maybe isn't the way forward.
Well, the trouble is that sometimes these procedures are giving people mental health problems that you can't see. And I think that every individual, you need to look at them. They were talking about stopping taking people's tonsils out. Well, if it's something that is going to make their life better, you think, well, do we do it, don't we do it? I think it's a very difficult call. But there are some procedures that probably don't need to be done on the NHS. But it's not, you know, I'm not in a position to say. I'm not a medical person.
Yeah.
But I do think that we need to look at the way the whole system is managed. But building awareness, you know, we had the awareness of the plastic issue that was raised by Attenborough, and people are starting to change the way they behave. And I think that raising awareness that our system, our NHS system, needs to be loved and cherished and not abused will make people think twice. And then on the other end of it, we know that people are waiting a long time to get appointments with doctors, that you often just get a phone call. And we need to see how we that can be better organised right at the front end so that when people are ill and they need to see somebody, they don't have to wait weeks and weeks and weeks. But it's not an easy thing to fix, without a doubt.
No. And it's such a huge machine and such a huge process that we have to go through. I was reading through your article in the Daily Mail, and you were referring to the 1p increase in income tax, the
yes.
suggestion as a way to try and gather funds to make the NHS work. Do you think there would be much public support for that if it meant, as a result, the NHS worked better?
I think it would. And the thing about that is it's really very fair because it means those who are earning a lot pay more and those who don't earn a lot don't pay anything. And obviously people on benefits wouldn't pay. But I feel it's also sustainable because if you say, well, we're going to put in £20 billion up to 2024, what happens when 2025 comes along? Whereas if you put 1p on income tax, it can continue and it should be ring-fenced so that we can see exactly what it's for so that it is for the NHS. And this is the policy that my party, the Liberal Democrats, have put forward. And I really think it would make a difference to so many people. And you could see it making a difference. I believe that it would be something that would be ongoing, that you could, if it's ring-fenced, it will be very clear, and that the public can see that their money is going to be used in a way that will be treating the people who really need it.
Of course, as you well know, Jo, there will be many that won't like the idea of any kind of tax rise, and they would object to that. But it's easy to be critical, and with all respect to you, of the NHS and of people that use it, maybe misuse it. For example, people that are drunk and then have to rely on the NHS to put them back on their feet again. But other pressures that are on the system, for example, a lot of us, thankfully, are living longer. And as the population gets older, it's natural that there will be more people needing the help of the NHS. So this, some will argue, the situation it's in now was unavoidable. You know, we are all getting older, we're living longer, and it's natural that there's more demand.
Well, I think it is, but I think that's a very good reason that we need to raise some more money to pay for it and make it absolutely clear what the money's for. The other thing, of course, is the social care, the aftercare, adult social care, children's social care. We know that's creaking all across the country. The county councils, the unitary authorities are struggling to find the money to cope with the care, and particularly for the elderly. And we need to have a joined up thinking with that, that when people have been in hospital having operations, or a lot of elderly people have multiple complaints and things that are wrong with them, and they need to have proper care, and we must make sure it's funded. And I don't think it's fair to penalise the young people terribly hard, because they will have their turn. But we do need to have, a look and see how this can be better managed. And it isn't just a sticking plaster that's going to fix this. You know, it really isn't. But something needs to be done, because our NHS is a valuable thing to us in this country, and we need to make sure that it is sustainable for the future, and not only for the older generation we have now, but also for all those coming along behind us. You know, our children and our grandchildren.
Just finally, Jo, what advice do you think your grandfather would give the NHS bosses today if he was around?
Difficult to say, but I think he'd probably say, sit down and look at it and look at new ways of doing things. Look outside the box. He was very good at looking outside the box and bringing forward new ideas. And I think he would say it needs to be done now, and something radical needs to be done before it's too late.
I know your grandfather, well, you were quite young when your grandfather passed away.
Yes.
Just on a personal level, because his role in this and others, you know, the NHS, the creation of it, was such a huge thing. Were you aware of that at the time, or when did you become aware of how pivotal a role your grandfather, your granddad, played?
I was very aware from an early age that he was somebody who'd been important, but he was very much grandpa. We used to see him, we used to love watching cricket, he'd read us stories, and it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I realised, we used to go to the garter ceremony at Windsor, and I realised then that he was somebody important. My mother used to take us to the House of Parliament and we'd watch debates, and it was all very exciting, but I was terribly young because I was only 9 when he died. But as I got older, and you know, when you're at school, you're studying history, and gradually I realised how very important he was and what a pivotal role he played after the Second World War. And I feel immensely proud to be his granddaughter.
Jo Roundell-Green, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.